Father, we just thank you for today. We just thank you, Lord, for being with us. Lord, for the operation, Lord, of your Holy Spirit gives to work in this place. For, Lord, your anointing, your healing anointing to bring freedom to the people. Lord, for everything that you are doing, Lord, in our lives to open up new doors in understanding and revelation, in strength and power, in victory, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, that we can come together, Lord, to rejoice about you and about the things that you're going to do in expectation, Lord, to know, Lord, that you haven't finished the job with us, that we are keep receiving more and more from you. Because there is no end in what you can give us. And so we just praise you and thank you today. And glorify your name. And come before you, Lord, with open hearts. That you may just pour your anointing and your Holy Spirit, your understanding and your revelation, Lord. That our heart may know what is the hope of our calling. That we may know what you want us to do. And Lord, that we may respond and be willing. Because when we do that, Lord, our life is fulfilled. Our purpose is fulfilled. And we can move from glory to glory, Lord, to experience your resurrection power. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Today we start a new topic. And you know the way I get topic. I never ask for topics. I never look for topics when I had to preach. I always get them. And the way it happens. See, I'm saying this because it's important. You know, today there is a tendency to try to go and look around and try to. There is a curious spirit that tries to know everything. And the result of that is you end up knowing nothing. It's in spiritual things. And not only on spiritual things. I remember the same thing is true in science. Is not by trying to cover lots of ground that you get anywhere. It's by going deep. It's by going in and focusing specifically on even some small things. Because in doing that, what happens, your understanding and your knowledge is transferred to other areas. And it's the same thing for revelation from the Lord. You know, recently, in the last few months, I've been working on the book on healing. And that healing has been the focus 90% of the time of my thinking, of my things. And, you know, and even after I finished the book, you know, the Lord kept, I started preaching on it. And for months, I've been preaching on healing. And he's been showing things that I should have added to the book, so that's exactly what I did. You see, and there is, the point is with the Lord, there is so much that no matter how deep you go, there is more there. But it's not the way it is in science. Because, you know, in science, the more you deeper you go, and I've been there, and the more you know that you don't know. Because there's never, you know, you find out more questions than answers. It's very different with the Lord. The more deep you go, the more you know, and the more you know that you know. And the impact of that is that your life is changed and is affected. So that actually that increase of knowledge, instead of putting more questions to you, it fills you in. Now, the reason why I'm saying that is because today people try to find out everything. And they spend so much time and waste so much time to get information. Information is not the answer. Knowledge is the answer. Wisdom is the answer. You get that by digging in. The diamonds are not on the surface, are underneath. So, really, when I got to get in a topic like, for example, healing, you know, one of the things that I realize is that the understanding in some areas and the focus that's given in some area is missing. And that would be useful for me. And actually, you know, through the healing studies and meditation and revelation, I got understanding in the areas of the spirit that I didn't have before. And so I came to the conclusion that, yes, I had to talk about the spirit. Not just the Holy Spirit, but the spirit in general. And if we look at ourselves, we see we have to understand the way we work. We have to understand the way, you know, God made us. Because the better we understand that, and the more likely we are going to be to have the proper relationship with Him. See, because the Word of God says that God is a spirit, and those who worship Him should worship Him in spirit and in truth. So if we are lacking really the understanding of what is our spirit, how our spirit work, how we can connect with our spirit, if we can. And I remember doing a study many years ago on this, using all the tools that are available to do that, Greek words used for that. And if you see, for example, the strong word, the interpretation that they have there is so inadequate for what God is saying. It's so limited. People that are Christians, they do not distinguish, they do not understand the separation between the spirit and the soul. Instead, that is critical. Because what happens is people start feeding their soul, but there is no feeding of the spirit. And there is a life in the spirit that is much more powerful than the life in the soul. This is just an introduction today. I'm not going to get into any depth. I had to create the background for us to be able to discuss some things and understand some things. The impact is going to be enormous. Because people talk about walking in the spirit. Well, if you don't understand spirit, how can you walk in the spirit? See, you end up having some funny ideas that are common that actually are not scriptural. So we're going to try to address some of all these things and to try to get understanding and wisdom about it, but not just about information about it, is how this implies, what the implications are, what that means in practical terms in our walk with the Lord. If God expects us to worship Him in spirit and in truth, if we don't know what it means to worship in spirit and in truth, we can be going through all the motions of worshiping and we are getting nowhere. So we have to go back to the roots, try to figure out some things clearly so that we have a solid understanding of both what these things are, but not just information, experience about it. Because information without experience means nothing. So let's start to talk about the reality of two dimensions. You know, there are only two dimensions, the spiritual dimension and the physical dimension. Now you go to the scientist and they say, oh, no, you know, I mean, we are in a multidimensional world. And that is not true. Now, I was a scientist, so I know what I'm talking about. I studied multidimensional mathematics because that's the field I was working on. But this is just a model. It's a mathematical model to explain some physical event that otherwise we cannot understand. But it's not a reality. To locate an object in the world, you need three coordinates. And so they call them those dimensions. But it's actually just a question, it's an artifact to be able to locate things. Now, to make it even a bit more complicated, they add a fourth dimension, time, which is actually non-existent. Time is not just nothing else than the recognition of change, and that's all. And so we measure it through time. But it's not a dimension. In existence, there are only two. There is the spiritual world and the physical world. That doesn't mean that models are not useful. That was my field. That was what I was doing. And what truth models, I was able to discover things that weren't known before in the physical world. But this was nothing. That was just a mathematical tool to be able to interpret things and predict even things. God and all the spiritual things are in the spirit, and all the physical things are in this universe. That's all. These people talk about multidimensional reality. The real multidimensional, they miss it. They do not believe in the existence of a spiritual reality. Unless they get to the place where they see that that wouldn't work any other way and that believing, but that doesn't mean make them Christians. Many people that are in quantum mechanics or quantum physics, they get to the close to that point. But to take that step of faith, to understand that all this stuff was written more than 2,000 years ago by people that didn't have synchrotron, and they can't cope with it. They are too arrogant to accept. I was there. So I can say, I know what it's like. We're going to have to go into the spiritual dimension and the physical dimension and see the way they are related. See, this is the results of the things I was doing on to understand healing. Spiritual healing is evidently something that happened in the spirit that has an effect on the physical world today, not a creation. So there has to be a way that the two worlds are correlated. Otherwise, you couldn't have spiritual healing. I mean, this is simple cause and effect, wouldn't you say? So there has to be a way in which the spirit world affects this physical world. Now, if you want to accept that, then you can say, well, you know, it's coincidences. But there is no coincidences. Everything is not coincidental. What you do has an impact. So, but what you do spiritually has an impact on the physical world and changes the physical world. So if we want to operate in this space, in this dimension, in this area, we better understand so that we can use to our advantage the knowledge if the Lord has provided it. And evidently, the Lord has provided it because the Bible is full of information on these realities, on the existence of the spiritual world, and calls us to be knowledgeable. You know, even spiritual gifts is just one side of the story. But it's just one little side. It's not the whole thing. So we need to understand this thing so that we can actually make the work for us instead of having it by chance happening. True knowledge, that means, you know, not just mind knowledge, not just intellectual knowledge, is experiential knowledge, produces the impact that becomes regular. You know, it's not just once in a while or by chance. And this is why, for example, the results we get healing now are regular. It's just, you know, practically most of the time for certain things, all the time. Why? Because there is enough understanding and enough experience to produce the results. And this is what God wants. That's what says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 and 3, 2 and 3 and 4. That through the knowledge of him, we have been given the precious promises by which we can obtain everything that we need for life and godliness. Everything. That seems to me a pretty big promise, wouldn't you say? One of the arguments that people use to prove the existence of God is, as you know, all civilization believe that there is some kind of supernatural thing. But the rationalists, the people that try to rationalize everything, says, well, you know, this is because they don't know, it's ignorance and superstition. So that argument doesn't really hold. I mean, that argument is just an argument. The actual proof is what Jesus did. He went around healing people. I mean, that to me is the proof. It's not a philosophical argument that I use with you to say something, you know, and argue some points, because somebody can argue other points. But unless you're really blind and biased, you say, well, that didn't happen. But when you see somebody that is instantly here in front of your eyes, of something that you could see, even in the world that can be measured, and there is no explanation except for the explanation they give you. For this, that's why I believe that this is the most effective way to evangelize. And this is the way Jesus did it. And this is the way that God is going to do it more and more in the last days in which we're in. The time is coming when God's power is going to be manifested through every believer, because that is a real believer that is not being indoctrinated by religion or by their philosophy or by the world's ideas. Because it's so easy to be exposed and affected. I mean, our education system is trying to make us reason in a certain way instead of really believing what God has said. Thinking that we, or without reason, he can figure out stuff that cannot be figured out because are beyond our experience, are beyond our senses to understand how the God comes about. But they can see him if he can be experienced or seen or determined by our senses. What we need is actually communication from the other side. We need information and experience from the other side that comes only through God communicating to us. And he has done that through the Bible. We have records after records after records of interaction of God with man, bringing about changes that were not possible otherwise, and that prove that it's not just made up. All right. So let's start with no matter where you are, no matter what you believe you have, no matter what physical theory you believe that the world was created, okay, there has to be somebody that started the thing. Something has to have happened at the beginning. And believe it or not, there has to be somebody, what we call God, who was the creator, that put things together. Not only they created the world, but created all the laws by which the world operates and by which the spirit world operates. And he knows all the laws. For us, all the laws that we know are nothing else than a theory on certain principles that we try to understand the observation that we have. That's all. And the more we go deep, we find out that our laws are not really valid because they are only looking at some aspect and missing some other ones. So all the law of Newton mechanics, which is the mechanics of the world, normal world, are broken down when you go small enough. And when you go small enough, you know, you have to use another model, which is quantum mechanics, and has a completely different set of rules. And when you go deeper enough, you see the quantum mechanics is nothing else than the results of what's called now called chaos theory. But chaos theory is actually the wrong name. It should be called order theory. Because God is a God of order, not a God of chaos. That's something that started when I was at the University of Manitoba, and I was doing some study, and actually I was discovered at the same time as I was doing some work. There was similar, I was finding out what was going on without having really understood all the implications. See, what happens in science as in a spiritual dimension, information happens at times, and revelation comes at times, not just with one person, but with many at the same time. So the God is like God moving and opening up the door so that people can see, and not just one person sees, you know, others see it too. And, you know, in science, this is so amazing that happens all the time. Generally, you know, a discovery is done in two or three places at the same time with people that were completely unrelated. It happened to me twice. The fact is that there is more than what we can see. Okay? And sometimes we get things, even if we are not born again. It's true that it's being opened. I'm not going to go into that. And I've seen that so many times in operation. Why should we know about spiritual world, the spiritual dimension, about our spirit? Well, I said it already when John 4:24 says that God is a spirit and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So the implication, if we do not know what worshiping in spirit and in truth is, we cannot even worship with God. We can go just through the motions, religious activities that have actually no spiritual impact whatsoever. Isn't that pretty common, even in Christianity? It's important. It's very important. The way we connect with God is through our spirit, not through our mind or not through our body. That does not mean that God doesn't affect our mind and our body. And what happens in our mind and our body has not an effect on our relationship with God. These two dimensions are separated, but they're not completely separated. There is an interaction between them. There is an impact on one on the other. And so what we do in one dimension makes a difference in another. You see the scripture I read before, you know, that there was, we worship him in spirit and in truth. And the Father is seeking such one to worship him. So you see, God wants us to interact with him and wants us to interact with him in the right way. It should show us that, you know, our understanding about spiritual things and about spiritual dimension and our spirit and so on will help us enormously in our relationship with the Father, with the relationship with God. Because otherwise we can be not interacting properly, not getting anywhere. Why people say, you know, I go and pray and nothing happens? Well, evidently you weren't praying right. If you are praying right, then something should happen all the time when you pray. Because God is not far away. He's right there where you are. And he's more than willing to do anything to help you because he loves you and he cares about you and he wants to bless you, but in some boundaries. According to his principles, according to his ways, because those are the right ways, according to his laws. And God has a plan for each one of us. And the plan is really both in this present life and later on when this life is finished, because we don't die, we are eternal. We are and will be all the time because we were created that way. But it's going to be a difference. You see, now we are kind of almost trapped in this physical dimension, not completely. And that's the exciting part. You see, we have to understand the part that we are not trapped in to be able to use it, because this is where the power is. This is where the change is going to take place. This is what Jesus came to show us more clearly than everybody else did before. But then, when this worldly body is going to be gone, we are going to get a resurrected body. And that's going to change the whole dynamic of our existence, the way Jesus did. See, Jesus was resurrected. We are going to be resurrected too. And our body will be the same as the body Jesus had when he was resurrected. See, God's plan is to transform us into his image, as says, for example, in 1 John. But it's not that, that's all not the whole story. I mean, it's not just that I'm becoming like Jesus now, and this is certainly his plan. This is just the beginning of the plan. The end of the plan is for us to be like him is now. You know, when you have that kind of resurrected body and you want to go on vacation in Australia, you don't need to take the plane. You don't need to labor. That's the way it was at the beginning with Adam. He did not labor to look after the garden. Now try to do that, you get lots of weeds. Okay, but he did not. Because he was operating from his spirit instead of just from his body and his soul. That was make all the difference. You see, this is what God, where God wants to bring us. But you know, we have to have a foretaste now of that, to move toward that, so that we are ready when the time comes for us to take that role. You know, when we get just a little bit of God's plan, understanding of a little bit of God's plan, we get so excited that our motivation shoots to the sky. About serving God, about loving God, about being with God, about separating ourselves unto God so that he can do the things he wants to do with us, because there is nothing more exciting. There is nothing more fulfilling. Everything fades away. Then, you see, because everything goes according to our desire, isn't it? See, the way we move is because of what we want. That's the way we were made. God made us to be motivated by our desires. And by itself, that's not a bad thing. It depends on what you desire. And so the impact, the consequences, the final result is going to be determined by the things that we are looking at, the things that we are desiring. You know, if you're looking at the tree and things that is good to eat, and God says, don't touch, and we go and touch it, we get into trouble, because he knows the laws and he tells us the laws and he's informing us. He gives us all the information that we need to be able to move in the right direction instead of the wrong direction. Today I put before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you may live and your children may live. He's a loving God, and he goes out of his way for us to be blessed. But he cannot break the law of righteousness. It's righteous laws. Hallelujah. That's where order comes into the picture. You see, otherwise it's chaos. So, our spiritual life is much more important than our physical life. Because our physical life is temporary. Our spiritual life is eternal. And we have to realize, if we like it or not, that we are operating in a spiritual dimension. You see, if we don't know it, it's like we tossed around without knowing what you do, and things happen down here and we don't know. But you know, in Ephesians 6:12 says very clearly that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. against powers, rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual weaknesses in high places. So if we don't know that, if the world doesn't know that, they're going to be tossed around by these things without even knowing why they do what they do. When we realize that and we understand the implication of that, then we start to know what we can do to avoid getting in trouble, to go and be sucked into by these things that are trying to break us away from God's plan to take them into a plan of darkness. Are you following me? Don't you think that this is going to be an interesting subject to address? Because when we start understanding how to operate, how we operate, how God operates, how the world, some of the principle according to which the spiritual worlds operate, then we can work in agreement with these things instead of going blindly without knowing what we're doing, or without even going the wrong direction. Because we are sucked in by these things we wrestle against, because they're against us. They're against God and they're against us because we are His creation. And the only thing they want to do is destroy. And the way they do it is by deception. They are the deceivers and they are the destroyers. But God is more powerful. God is able to deliver us and empower us to give us complete victory now, not later on. You see, if we don't have victory now, we cannot expect to have it later. Because now is where we are formed. Okay. So, what we want to do is really to see and understand the practical implication of the spiritual dimension and how to grow in this area spiritually. How to walk in the Spirit, not just describe or talk about things, list about things. You know, we need actually to know. That means we need to experience things spiritually. That's why it cannot be just a mental exercise, cannot be just a Bible study. Christianity is not Bible study. It's relationship with God. And in that relationship, what you get is more, you know, you do the Bible study, sure, you had to feed your mind, but that's not enough. There is not enough power there. So we know to acquire spiritual knowledge. And the only way to do that is not through your senses. Paul said that in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, chapter 2, verse 9. It says, but it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ear heard, nor ever enter into the heart of man. Just put heart there in your mark there. The things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Here is very clearly telling us that, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. You see, we cannot get about the spiritual world through our senses, because our senses are limited to the physical world. We can touch, see, smell, taste, hear. You know, we can only do these things, but these things are not necessarily in this dimension. So you cannot get the information you need or the experience you need that way. It has to be revealed to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of men except but the Spirit of man which is in him. So even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So if you want to find out about Him, about that dimension, that's his dimension. You have to ask Him. You know, some people get some information anyway. But that's dangerous ground. We'll talk about that later on. You see, this is interesting what he's saying, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may know the things that have been freely given to us by God. This is past tense. We have received already the Spirit of God. And so that we may know. That's his point. You see, God wants us to know. It's not that just it's going to happen. Through his spirit, he has given us his spirit so that we may know. And that means, you know, more than just information, that we may actually experience. The word there is gnosko, which actually means, you know, to have spiritual, physical experience of that. So we actually know the things that God has given us. So you can talk about how to receive healing to somebody. And you can describe all the situation and give all the detail and everything else. And that's just information. But the time when they received healing and they went through the process, they're going to know. Before, they didn't know. They just were informed. It's a big difference. You know, I can tell you what it's like to eat ice cream or what it's like to ride a bicycle. It won't give you the taste of an ice cream and it won't enable you to ride a bicycle. But when you start doing it, when you start licking the ice cream, when you start falling down and trying to straighten up and learn to do that, then you're going to know. And essentially, you see, this is a similar thing. There are things that we cannot actually know because we have experienced them. But the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is being given to us. This is past tense. So that we may know. Now, we don't know everything, but you know, he wants to bring us to the place when we know more and more, and we can see the things that he has prepared for those who love him. You see, there has to be the love for him as the starting point, though, because you're not going to get just because you are interested or curious. Generally, to have spiritual experiences involves a commitment to him that comes only by the love that you have for him, so that you actually spend the time, you are willing to do the things, you are committed to seek after him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added. You see, there has to be the seeking inside us after God that comes only because we love him with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our strength. That's the first commandment, and it's not only two commandments are important for us. See, when we fulfill the first commandment, we are going to seek after God. But to fulfill the first commandment is not because we do it because it's a law, it's because we do it because we love him. Then we are going to be able to do it. It's a relationship that we have with him that motivates us. But you see, that motivation enables us to interact with him and to interact with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit starts teaching us and showing us and giving us revelation for the things we need to understand. Are you following me? So this is the type of things that we are going to be working. See, otherwise, you know, we can know that God wants to give us all things for life and godliness, but it's just a theory. It's just something that is so far away, so abstract. The spiritual world is not abstract. It's more physical than the physical world. Actually, the physical world is abstract because most of it is vacuum. This, you see, the physical world is nothing else than the result of the spiritual world. Praise the Lord. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. For the natural man, see, the natural man there is psukios, that actually is the soulish man. That's the word used. Does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual discernment means, you know, that they come from the Spirit. This is from the Spirit that you receive them. So you can't get them otherwise. It's not by computer analysis of the Bible that you're going to do it. You're going to find lots of things that are really things don't mean very much. Certainly, you can look at the printouts and get no power from them. You just read the Bible, and if you get what is there, you get power. That's the difference. That one makes us different. People look for aliens these days. We are the aliens. We are not of this world, but are in this world. And when we were born again, we were made a new creature. A new creation, new species. So really, we are the aliens they are looking for. And they don't need to go very far. They can go any place and see, are you born again? Oh, this is an alien guy. See, we have to remember that. We are not like the natural man. We should be spiritual people, where our spirit has predominance over our soul and over our body, not the other way around. I think with that we can close for today. So you think it's going to be an interesting series? All right, so let's close in prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We just thank you, Lord, for we know, Lord, that you have good plans for us. There are blessings, not curses, Lord. You have a desire for us to grow and to, Lord, be effective and be successful and be in health, even as our soul prospers. Lord, that we may understand the role that our spirit, our soul, and our body have in our life. That we may take charge of our life instead of being tossed around by the things that are around us and by the things they fight against us. The struggle against us, against the principalities and powers of this world. Lord, that we may be able to receive from you understanding, wisdom, and power to be your children and to manifest your glory down here today in these days, in Jesus' name. Amen.